This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby. What is the Cowboys' biggest weakness? And would you possibly trade it for somebody else's biggest weakness? I know everybody thinks the Cowboys are in a pretty rough spot, and they have been for 30 years now without a conference title game appearance. But USA Today has a rundown of what they think is the biggest weakness that every team is facing still as we enter the summer. And when you look over it, there are obviously some that are going to be super preference, where it's like some team may have like a kicker. Okay, well, I'll take the kicker over something that's impacting every single down. But when you look over this, specifically in the NFC East, it might be the case where you say, you know, if that's Dallas's biggest weakness, that may not hurt them as much as Washington's hurts theirs. And so we're going to talk about it here in Below the Belt, which is sponsored by D&M Leasing. You can check them out at dmautoleasing.com. Very predictably, the number one weakness, according to everybody nationally, for the Dallas Cowboys is
running back.
It's the running back, which I actually don't agree with at this point.
Really? Because they drafted a Longhorn?
No, because to me, they've done so much work to try and fix the actual trenches and just like create space that way, that that's a more solid position to me right now than figuring out whatever the hell they're going to do at corner. I don't know where Deron Bland's playing right now. I don't know when Trayvon Diggs is going to be back. I don't know if they can count on Kalen Carson at this point. I don't know any of these guys they traded for. Corner, I really don't have any sort of like solid answer of that guy's playing there all season and he's going to be good. I just don't know that answer right now. And that's something that I think we're going to see them when they get to the end of minicamp. That's when you'll start hearing buzz about before they go off for their summer vacations. You'll hear something about, oh, Cowboys are working out three veteran corners today or something like that. That's typically when you see that. But USA Today says that Dallas's biggest weakness is the running game. Again, pretty predictably, they say that, you know, Dallas struggled last year with Rico Dowdle, or until Rico Dowdle come in and kind of solidify things. But they've got Javonte Williams, who was 43rd out of 44 qualified runners last year in rush yards over expectation. They picked up a flyer on Miles Sanders. They drafted Jaden Blue on day three, but there's not really a strong answer there. So when you look at that, you go, okay, that's the setting. Let's look at some of the other contenders now. And the first one that I wanted to jump to was the Commanders. The Commanders' biggest flaw, their biggest weakness right now, as a team that was pretty good last year, got to the NFC title game. The Washington Commanders' biggest flaw right now is their pass defense, according to USA Today. It says Washington fielded the 22nd ranked pass defense last year and made it to the NFC title game anyway.
And made a big deal.
With Marshawn Lattimore, right. And if Marshawn Lattimore still has juice left to be squeezed, he'll be an asset in the secondary. Which,
how old was he, 2016 draft?
2017. Marshawn Lattimore's probably getting close to 30 now. If he's not there already, he's 29. Dude, so he'll be 30 next year, actually.
The roller coaster ride of the cornerback position in the sport is getting closer scary now.
Yeah.
Trayvon Diggs, Jair Alexander, what's going to be up with Lattimore? I mean, one year you're locked down and the next year you're not.
Yeah, like, I mean, if I were to say right now, like, right off the top of your head, who do you think are, like, the best corners in football? Like, that answer changes every summer, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, I bet if we go look at ESPN's list they do every year where they talk to front office people and say who are the top 10 at each position, I bet that corner position fluctuates almost more than anything else.
It makes me wonder if you can narrow down who the best corners are going to be that year based on who they're playing as at quarterback that season.
Yeah, I mean, there may
like
be
a study.
There may be a tie in there. Also, like, yeah, how much does it change based on, you know, schemes changing or different guys in terms of, like, who was across from you and how does that take away attention? Like, when Bland and Diggs are on the field, that changes up the way that they play together.
Yeah.
But when you look at Washington's pass defense, and you remember we were talking about Lattimore at the end of last year. Lattimore was getting, like, cooked a little bit.
Yes.
Like, once he got to Washington. So there's still a question there about how solid he really is. And They lost, obviously, Dante Fowler, who's here in Dallas now. He was their most efficient pass rusher last year. So when you look at where Washington's at right now, I don't know that I would trade the running game issues Dallas potentially has for Washington's pass defense right now. That to me like seems like, obviously, well, yeah, there's more stability in other parts of the team. But if you want to talk about...
But make it secondary for secondary. Make the Cowboys secondary your biggest concern. Because I agree, I'm more concerned about the secondary than the run game.
Yeah, and my issue with the secondary right now, and it's not even secondary specific, it's corner specific. My issue with the corners right now is just, it's not even like, I don't think they'll be good or anything. It's like, I don't know. Like, I feel like Deron Bland's going to have a great year. I think he's going to be fantastic wherever he plays. I just don't know where he's playing.
Yeah.
If he's playing the nickel or he's playing outside, that changes the way I view the corner group probably. And so it's got this wide variance right now that's really unstable. I guess from the perspective of you view Dallas's run game as their weakness because you say, we've seen Javonte Williams. He has to prove he can actually play again. Miles Sanders has to prove he can play again. Deuce Vaughn has to prove he can play at all. And, you know, Jaden Blue is a fifth-round pick who has to show he can hold on to the ball. Jaden Blue, we haven't talked about that a ton. Jaden Blue's fumble issues at Texas were basically the worst in the country. He is a fumble machine Texas. And that's something that there's some concern about. But overall, I think when you look at...
I feel like the Dallas Cowboys did not fumble the football last year. I need to be double-checked on that. Peyton, you can do that.
Yeah, they're throwing too many interceptions.
Check on the fumbles, because I don't remember a lot of fumbles. I bet they're bottom seven in the league in terms of fumbles lost.
Let's see if this makes you feel any better again. The Philadelphia Eagles. They don't have a ton of issues right now.
Am I wrong?
Dallas Cowboys lost the most fumbles by a team in 2024 with 14 of them.
Okay. I watched less football.
That's according to StatMuse. So I have no idea.
No, I'm looking at it. Fumbles lost. They lost 14. That was worst in the NFL.
Like what? What running back was fumbling?
I'm guessing, and I'm going to look really quick. I bet you it was the quarterbacks getting hit. Cooper Rush had 9 fumbles last year.
What a screwy choppy.
Oh, but
9?
Yeah, 9.
He lost 9 fumbles?
Well, he had 9 fumbles. I don't know how many he lost. It doesn't say that there.
But from the running backs, I don't remember the running backs, so I apologize to myself. I do watch more football.
Jake Ferguson had 4 fumbles last year. Jeez, I did not remember having that many. The Eagles, their
Carson
biggest issue.
Beck had a bigger one.
Their biggest issue is safety and secondary depth, which that was a big issue for them in 23. They were really bad in the secondary. They were getting cooked late in the season. That's why a lot of people felt like their run wasn't sustainable. And that's why they really focused on, all right, we're going to get Cooper DeJean. We're going to go get Quinyon Mitchell. We're going to really address the secondary. Well, their cornerback competition has still kind of behind that starting group. If they take an injury, they're in trouble. And their safety play has still not been great a lot of times. So again, you're looking at Washington's pass defense, Philly's secondary. I think everybody would rather be in Philly's position right now overall. But if you're just talking about like a weakest link type of thing, you're only as strong as your weakest link, then I at least would say I'd rather deal with what Dallas has got at running back right now than potentially deal with whatever's going on in the secondary in Washington and just potentially if there's any sort of injury issues in Philadelphia, that becomes a much bigger issue.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Much quicker.
It's almost, I'm not trying to crap on your segment here, but it's an easy answer when you talk about other things outside of running back because we all feel the same.
Right.
It's offensive line. I keep mentioning Rico Dowdle. Put someone back there. And that the offensive line will tell you how the running game is going to be. So you're not.
I'd much rather have a weak running game than a weak pass defense.
Yes, there you go.
Look, if Dak's healthy and Pickens is going to come in here and play like they think he can, and Ferguson's going to bounce back, and they're able to protect better, if all those things that they're anticipating or projecting are correct, and your two biggest contenders in the NFC East, their issue is defending the pass, or their depth in the secondary, That makes you feel better about those six games you're going to go play against the NFC East. I won't even bother reading what New York's biggest weakness was because they suck. They're terrible. Okay, over at ESPN, we got Football Power Index.
You were really excited about this yesterday.
I like the FPI, baby.
I love the FPI because it's so funny how bent out of shape people get about it, including football teams.
Oh, yeah.
The Eagles, this was the thing that the Eagles were all worked up about in 2023. Where they were saying, "Oh, we're like undefeated, or we have one loss," and ESPN keeps telling us their little projection number that we're not good enough.
So the most analytic heavy team in the league, they come all against analytics.
The players whined about. I mean, there were a ton of quotes about it.
What is it?
The FPI it's their ratings and projection model. So it's basically a model that I think Seth Walder's really involved in it, but it's essentially just a forecasting tool where they do trends and different things like that, and they try to project out odds. They do a bunch of different simulations to see what your odds are of winning your division, getting in the playoffs, winning the Super Bowl, whatever else. So this has been typically, like anything else, their model generally reflects pretty well on people that we saw last year and thought were really good. And so it doesn't stray too much, but they do not like Dallas. The FPI this year does not like the Dallas Cowboys. ESPN projects them to go 8-9 next year, and that record would give Dallas a top 10 pick in 2026, according to their model. They have just a 30.6%
loaded quarterback class.
They have just a 30.6% chance to make the playoffs. That's the 25th best odds in football of getting to the postseason. FPI only gives Dallas a 12.2% chance to win the NFC East, which means that their model puts Dallas way closer to the Giants than it does to the Commanders or Eagles.
What are the Commanders and Eagles?
The Commanders and Eagles are at like 45. They're in the 40 range of winning the division. So, and Dallas is 12, and then I think the Giants are like 2%. So it puts it, that clearly says Washington and Philly are separate from Dallas. They've got just a 2.9% chance to make the Super Bowl, according to this model, and a 1.4% chance to win it, which means the Mavs had better odds of getting the number one pick than FPI believes the Cowboys have at winning the Super Bowl in 2025.
The Mavs got it. They did.
We've already set a precedent, baby. That's what we've done here. For comparison, last year, though, FPI, again, it doesn't always knock it out of the park. For comparison, the Cowboys had the fourth best odds of winning the Super Bowl last year heading into the season. And that was behind the Lions, 49ers, and Chiefs. And I don't know if you guys knew this. The Lions, 49ers, and Chiefs, none of them actually won the Super Bowl last year. So that didn't happen. Some of the teams that the projection like really likes on the model, they're big on Cincinnati as a bounce back. Cincinnati right now is considered a top 10 team. They're a little bit softer on Detroit. Detroit's lower than Philly, Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo on the projections for how they're going to play this season. I actually had seen, I'm trying to remember where I saw this yesterday. Somebody had a projection that they thought Detroit was going to be a 9 or 10 win team yesterday. Like somebody in media.
Ooh.
And it was not like an ESPN hot ticket.
I don't know, they had a tough schedule. I mean, like, that's not going to stun. Now, what that is that is an anti-Jared Goff person because he has 7 road games.
But how much would the FPI take into account the coaching losses of the coordinators?
That I don't know. I wonder if it would take out I assume it would take into account outdoor road games more.
So Seth Walder writes about it. It's a proprietary formula, so they don't disclose all of it. But he says that it's primarily based on predictive ratings are based on win totals from the betting market in conjunction with each team's schedule, along with factors such as the difference between a team's starting and backup quarterback and a special teams rating that incorporates specific kickers. So they've got like, it's really layered in terms of like, what if there's an injury and different things like that. So, I mean, they go really deep with it.
But not coaching.
No, coaching at least is not identified here as something that they measure in this context.
There's your football fix. More of it with the Red Zone every day at 9:20. This is B-Low,
B-Belt
on DFW Sports Station. Cowboys practice again today. Bobby will be out there the full recap tomorrow morning. Will the Dallas Stars stay alive tonight? And why are the Dallas Mavericks divorcing themselves from hockey? Final hour, Thursday edition after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.